الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الإمام أبو عبد الله أحمد بن حنبل رحمه الله تعالى والرجم حق على من زنى وقد حسن إذا اعترف أو قامت عليه بجينا وقد رجم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد رجمت الأئمة الراشدون وجيت رسول الله سبحانه وتعالى وآسوا الصلاة عليه السلام محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من الله سبحانه وتعالى Increase our iman. Grant our request and give us an istiqama, a steadfastness on the part of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Insha'Allah, we continue the reading and a short explanation on the book titled Usul Sunnah, written by Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbali, rahimahullah ta'ala. Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbali, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, وَالرَّجْمُ حَقٌّ عَلَى مَنْ زَنَى وَقَدْ أُحْصِنْ إِذَا اعْتَرَفَ أَوْ قَامَتْ عَلَيْهِ بَيِّنَةٌ وقد رجم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد رجمت الأئمة الراشدون الإمام أحمد بن حنبل رحمه الله تعالى said والرجم حق على من زنى وقد أحصن It is legal under the scope of the Islamic constitution that the government should establish the punishment of rajm. Rajm means stoning to death. Ala man zana, upon whoever that commits the act of adultery. وَقَدْ أَحْسِنْ Whoever that has illegal sexual intercourse. وَقَدْ أَحْسِنْ And such a person had already married before. Maybe it is a man. He has a wife already at home, or the wife is no more with him due to death or due to divorce. Or a woman that is under a husband, a legal husband. Or the husband is late, or there's a divorce in between. So whoever existed the marriage before, or even the marriage. And find another way to have a sexual intercourse with someone that there's no any legality of marriage in between them. This is what is known to be adultery. If it happens, it's known to be adultery in Islam. It is one of the two types of illegal sexual intercourse. That is adultery. The punishment for adultery is different from the punishment of fornication. If the perpetrator, the person that commits the act of illegal sexual intercourse, has not married before, has not tasted the marriage in his life, be it a man or a woman, and he has illegal sexual intercourse with another man or with another woman, without any Islamic marriage contract, then this is what is known to be fornication. So fornication comes up between a boy and a girl, or between a man and a woman. But both of them have never tasted in their life the marriage, the sweetness of marriage, or have never gone into marriage before. Or for someone that has been in marriage or is still in marriage or is no more in marriage after he has been in marriage, if such a person should have intercourse with a man or a woman, that both of them are not binded together with the legal marriage contract in Islam, then this is what we call adultery. So both adultery and fornication are punishable offense under the Islamic law, Islamic constitution. The reason being that it is what our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, warns every one of us against. Allah has never, in any point in human history, permitted the act of adultery or fornication, going into intercourse without any legal due process. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never approved that. And it is one of the ways to purify the society. Yes, that is human society. What will show the difference? If there's no any legal binding rules and regulations guiding every woman and man in the society as regards to the issue of intercourse, that means there won't be any difference between a man and an animal. Because animals, they have intercourse without any prior reparation or without taking any legal action. A dog will meet another dog. Then they start to have fun in between. A goat will see another goat. Then they start to enjoy themselves. Without anything like that, without anything as regard to the sanctity of their kingdom. So this is the way of the animals, which we know that it will be uncalled for. It will not be understandable when you are trying to organize the wedding for your dog, that you are trying to organize a wedding for your cow, that a male and female cow want to have or to come together as a union to become husband and wife. This is out of common sense. Yes, it's out of common sense. But as for a human society, it is very, very important. Very, very important. In fact, it is a requirement to have holiness in society, for our society to taste the sanctity, for the family to be protected, for everyone to know what to do at the time that he or she needs to do it. So it is quite understandable when a man is trying to go into wedding in order to have intercourse with another woman. The two family will meet. There will be a binding agreement in between. Then people will be invited. There will be witnesses of the people here and there. So this is it's a common sense. It's a common sense. So this is the reason why Islam has placed a very severe punishment on someone who does not pass through, especially a Muslim. A Muslim woman or a Muslim man who does not pass through the system of marriage in Islam, only for him or her to enjoy himself with another man or with another woman. This is wrong, an abomination. Yes. And throughout of human cultures, there is no any culture that approves that. It's not what we later been experienced by the Western ideology. The white people. In fact, in African culture, in African societies, it is a very severe abomination. Yes, a very mighty crime in African society that someone will commit zina. In African society, is an abomination. So, even to the level that in African society, there is a severe punishment on that. For instance, in Yoruba, there is what we call magun. Magun. Magun is a fetish. It is a fetish act that a man, the husband, would put in the body of the wife in case the wife has extramarital sexual intercourse with another person, and the person will die immediately. The person will die immediately. That is Yoruba setting. Yes. So, in Islam, Islam has a very severe penalty, punishment, for someone who commits adultery or fornication. Though, the punishment will not be carried out by individual. It is not your duty, it is not our duty. It is not every individual in society, every individual in the society's duty. It is not our duty. Rather, it is the duty of the government. So, the government is allowed in Sharia to exercise that, to execute that penalty. So, if it comes in a way that the person that commits zina, both man and woman that commit zina, had never experienced marriage before, the punishment is stated in the Quran. Quran chapter 4, chapter 24, verse 2. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الزانيات والزاني فجلدوا كل واحد منهما مئة جلدة. As a man or a woman, or as a man and woman, both of them, that is caught of committing zina, shina, fajlidu kulla wahidin minhum yat al-jadda. It is the responsibility of the government to punish them. How? By giving them 100 lashes each. 100 lashes each. And they should be sent to go into exile. Or to be imprisoned for 1 year. After they receive the punishment, then they will put them in prison for 1 year. وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمَا رَعْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not take pity of them for you not to carry out the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stipulated upon them. Do not do that. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. If truly you, government and individual, will believe in Allah and in the last day, and are going to give account of your leadership to Allah. So, this is the punishment for who? For a man or a woman that has never experienced marriage before. They have not been into marriage, but they had illegal sexual intercourse. That's the punishment. As in the case of a man or a woman who are already in marriage or out of marriage due to divorce or the death of the husband or the death of the wife, if such a person commits zina, then the punishment for that is that the government is responsible for their death under the scope of Sharia. They must be stoned to death. Arrajman. Arrajman. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Alayhi wa sallam exercise this judgment. The reason why Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala brought this as part of the foundations of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah is that, you know, when you open the Quran from the beginning to the end, you will not find the exact punishment for adultery, that is stoning to death. You will not find it in any one of the verses. And that made some people to go against it. That made some people to reject it. You hear some speakers, some local affairs, or you hear some international affairs too, kicking against the punishment of stoning to death on adulterers. So, and this is the reason why the scholars, we had it to be the foundation. Knowing fully well that the tribulation in the early stage of Islam, when the revelation was still coming to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was included both in writing, it was included in the Quran. Yes, but later on, the what you know to be a Nasku came over it. What is Nasku? Nasku means abrogation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogated the reading from the Quran. He wiped off the Quran in the hearts of the Muslims. The reading, the verse of Rajm, Allah wiped it off from the heart of the Muslims and from the bones, or from those materials that they hold the Quran. While the practice of rationing is still established, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exercised the punishment of rajmun. Likewise, al-khulafa'u ar-rashidun, those who held the position of leadership after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did the same. So it is not something that a conscious Muslim will kink against. For that, there's no any scholar. More than 1,000 years that kick against this. No. But we have the modern unbaked scholars. They are unbaked. Because they have been moved by the Western ideology to kick against some things in the Quran. So Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, that is the reason why he puts the punishment of Rajmu in his book, Usul Sunnah. He said, وَرَجْمُ حَقٌ عَلَى مَنْ زَنَى وَفَتْعُسٍ. The punishment of stoning to death is given to whoever that commits the adultery. إِذَا اِتَرَقَ, if he confesses. That's one of the ways to establish this punishment. It is not just we just assume that someone has committed zina, adultery or fornication, that the next thing you want the government to punish the person. No. There are due procedures that must be followed to establish that yes, it is true that the person commits the act, not just an ordinary allegation. Yes. No, it is not like that in Sharia. In fact, in Islam, the case of adultery or fornication can take 10 years before the punishment can be executed, when the investigation is still in progress. Yes, because the government must make sure that yes, it is really, or he or she has really committed the crime before the punishment can be met upon them. So, one of the ways to establish zina is i'tiraf, idha i'tarafa, as Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala said, al-i'tiraf, when an offender publicly declares that yes, he commits such an offense, without being forced to declare that, you know. He confessed personally. Yes, I did zina. I committed zina. I slept with him, I slept with her. That is the word al-i'tiraf. The scholars of fiqh will say, al-i'tirafu sayyidu al-adillah. Al-i'tirafu sayyidu al-adillah. The best of all evidences is confession, self-confession. When someone that commits a sin publicly comes out to declare to people that yes, he has committed such and such crime, and the person does not lose his insanity, the person is not mad, is not being forced, is not under duress. So his action, his statement will be taken against him. That is it. Just like when someone goes to police station to say that I killed someone. So they will look, he is mad, he's been battered with madness, or someone forced him. Then if none of this happens, then and the evidence shows that yes, he killed the person, then his statement will be used against him. And that's the reason why when you go to the station to complain, the first thing they ask you to do is to leave a statement. Yes. So that statement will be used against you or for you. So in Islam, when someone that commits any crime which nobody is aware of it comes out publicly to declare that he commits crime and is not under threat, is not being forced to say that, and is not mad, he does not lose his sanity. His sanity is still there. Then it is meant to be used again. That is one. And the such scenario, during the time of the Prophet, a man committed zina, and he went to the Prophet to say, Ya Rasulullah, who is the Messenger of Allah, had the means to commit zina. The Prophet asked him, Abika Junoo? Are you mad? Are you out of your sense? Go away. So the man went away. He was one of the companions, Sahaba. He started punishment in this world. Then the punishment of the Yara came. The man went back to the Allah. He said, Yara, what is the sin of Allah? The late dinner. First of Allah, I just said, at this noon, are you interested? He lost humanity. Get out. The man went away. So he came back the third time. First of Allah, I was in when he said he committed. The last one, I committed him. I'm not bad. I know him. The man, if the man was sound, he was not under duress, and the man was not battling with any sign of madness. So it preferred that the punishment stipulated in Sharia to be applied on him here, which just, yes, it is a limited punishment, unlike the punishment of the Day of Judgment, the Day of Resurrection, the Day of Accountability. That punishment is everlasting. It has no end. It has no end. So when the man remained adamant, telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he committed the zina, that the next thing Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for that the people of the affair of that punishment to stone him to death. This shows how conscious the to avoid unlimited questions of another like that. So two is activity. And that is under establish the form of that the form of pregnancy. That is not marriage. Suddenly she becomes pregnant. And she is not saying she does not commit zina. How come she is pregnant? Pregnancy is not contagious. It's not that when you see someone that is pregnant, a pregnancy will transfer to you, like contagious disease, like chickenpox. So pregnancy is not contagious. You rather exercise. You will experience it. You experience the process that will lead to pregnancy. So if a woman is pregnant and there's no any legal husband that she is under, then it is a sign of what? Zina. No legal husband. He did not say she was raped. Nothing. No, how come? So, pregnancy in a woman is a sign of such a woman has committed zina. That is some evidence. Yes, we all know this. If you're a young girl, if you notice that you're a young girl who just finished our egg, you notice pregnancy in her. Will you be thinking maybe in fully pregnancy? You will call her, Ashake, Abike, what's wrong with you? Are you pregnant? Yes, I'm pregnant. The next thing you have, who impregnated you? Who impregnated you? That's the first thing you ask. Who gave you the pregnancy? Who is the man that impregnated you? Yeah, nobody. Which nobody? Are you okay? Are you sound? Are you mad? Because there's no any holy pregnancy. Yes, Islam does not concord to that. That someone will say, I have holy pregnancy. What is holy pregnancy? It is through zina. Is she now? So through pregnancy, it can be established that someone has committed zina. Then number three of al-bayyina is what al-Qur'an establishes, that witnesses, eyewitness. If you, the third party, you want to alert someone of committing zina, you want to say that someone, this man commits zina, or that man commits zina, or this boy or that girl commits zina, then you must provide three witnesses, including you, making four. And the witnesses must be same, must not be mad people. Two, they must be matured people. The matured team must be there. Then three, the witnesses must see the stick and the hole. When the stick is entering the hole, they must see it before any one of them can say, yes, they commit zina. No. If you cannot see the stick entering the hole, then you cannot establish the zina against them. So how beautiful is Islam? That's why in the history of human race, it has never been established that someone that commits zina, it is through four witnesses. It is hardly provable that you say, yes, I saw them, both of them, they committed zina. And I saw the stick of this man entering into the hole of this woman. In fact, when I saw it, I went out to call three people to witness. And the three people must also testify to it. That yes, wallahi, I swear by Allah, I saw it too. I saw the stick of this man entering into the hole of this woman. Allahu Akbar. Is there in the Quran? Quran chapter 4. Verse 4. Quran chapter 24. Surah An-Nur. The essence is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us very strict conditions so that we must be wrongfully alleged someone of a crime that he or she does not commit. Because there's a grievous punishment attached to adultery and fornication. So why would we just be calling someone Zania or Zani and Harlot? And why would we be abusing someone of Shina? It is common on the tongue of many people when they see someone, they say, Onishinani, it's a Harlot. He enjoys dinner. When they don't have any proof to establish that. So if you want to alert someone of dinner, then you must be responsible for four witnesses. If there's no four witnesses, even if three out of four, you and other two people saw it, they saw them do that evil practice, committing zina. If they saw them do it, and there's no any fourth people, that is no number four, no four witness, then you must not say it to anybody. You must not allow them to teach until you are able to be four people. That is, you can see how strict is that condition. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the great scholars of Islam, died around 800 years ago. He said, since this verse is reviewed, it has never been established that zina, the act of zina, the crime of zina is established through four witnesses. That shows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful to have placed such very strict requirement on whoever that will allege another person with the act of fornication or adultery. So, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala said, وَقَدْ رَجَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Before we go into that 45, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as regards those who do not have four witnesses, they don't have four witnesses, and they allege a woman, or they allege a man, of committing zina, it is the responsibility of the government to punish them. Yes. To give them 80 lashes for failing to provide four witnesses. Yes, therefore the stick of the man enters into the oath of the woman. The Lord's mother kept quiet once they knew that there are no four witnesses. But if you say it out, Only you can see it, and no other witness except you. You have to keep it in your heart. You have to keep it in your heart. You must not profess it. You must not say it. You must not open your mouth and tell the second person. Otherwise, government is responsible for your own punishment too. Allah says, "Fajidubun." The government must give them 18 lashes. وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا مِنْهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا. And none of them, whoever does commit this act of defamation, the government must not accept its witness for any issue anymore in the society. فَوْلَٰيكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. They are also sinners for not providing four witnesses. So you need to mind your tongue. You may hate someone, yet the dresses of a girl or the dresses of a woman can go beyond the normal dressing as we have it in our society. That does not mean that someone that dressed half naked, the next thing is establish zina against him when you don't have the witnesses. So as Muslims, you should be conscious of your utterances. وقد رجم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he had also punished some people that committed zina during this time. Yes, there are references, there are evidences of that. وقد رجمت الأئمة الراشدون أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه likewise Umar, Uthman and Ali. All of them, they executed the punishment of adultery and fornication, especially the adultery on the offenders. Yes, on the perpetrators. So there's no room for anyone to come today in this 21st century condemning the act or the punishment of stoning to death just because it is not duly stipulated in the Quran. There are many laws that are not stipulated in the Quran, but they are also stipulated in the second source of Islamic constitution. That is the Hadith, the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma said, قال عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه عمر بن الخطاب the second leader of the Muslims after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam عمر وجالس على منبر وسين on his pulpit on the pulpit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said إن الله قد بعث محمدا بالحق الله سبحانه وتعالى has truly raised Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم with truth وأنزل عليه الكتاب he has revealed upon him القرآن فكان مما أنزل عليه آية الرجم among what is revealed to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the verse of stoning to death of the adulterers فَرَعْنَاهَا Umar said, yes, we read it in the Quran. وَوَعِنَاهَا We understood it. وَأَخَذْنَاهَا Yes, we phantom the information. This really in the Quran. فَرَجْمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ And that made the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to exercise the punishment of rajm, stoning to death of the adulterers. وَرَجَمْنَا بَعْدَهَا And we, the Khulafa, we did the same after his death to those who committed the act of adultery. فَعْشُمْ طَلَبِ النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ أَنْ يَقُولَ قَائِلٌ It said, Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه said, I'm afraid that when times pass by, that some people will not come to say that مَا نَجِدُ الرَّجْمُ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ They will say that, no, we don't, there's no رَجْمُ. Stoning to death is not in the Qur'an. It's not in the Qur'an. So it is not Islamic. That is, I'm afraid that some ignorance will come up later in the day, like this present time that we have, where we have some big scholars, some big affairs condemning this punishment of the crime of adultery. فَيُدِلُّ بِتَرْكِ فَعِبَةَ عَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ Then if they condemn that, they do not establish the rajm, then they will be misguided, they go astray because of abandoning what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. وَإِنَّ الرَّجْمُ Stoning to death, as we say it, فِي كِتَابُ اللَّعَقُمْ عَلَى مَنْزَنَ Stoning to death is a responsibility of the government that stands to be the right of God, which must be met on Manzana with a earth sin. Minal Rijal wa Nisa, which must be carried out on a man or a woman that commits adultery. Idha qamati al-bayyina, when the evidence is established, aw kana al-habalu, or the pregnancy comes up, aw al-i'tiraf, or the perpetrator publicly confesses. This is what Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala said, as reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas, also in Sahih Bukhari. So that shows that this is the way of the Muslims from the beginning of Islam till end of the world. So it is not something that someone can just condemn. You cannot condemn it. It is established in Islam. Some people will condemn it. Why are you condemning it? Why? Are you an adulterer? Are you an adultery? So, some people will be speaking against the application of Sharia, Sharia law. No, we don't want Sharia. This Sharia that will allow the hands of the teeth to be amputated. Okay, my teeth. You don't want your hand to be cut off. Why are you afraid? So far you are not 18. Why can't you allow the application of legislative angles of Sharia to be carried out? So there's nothing in the law of this land that does not benefit the human society, either collectively or individually. Look at our environment. When there's no any punishment on zina, there's no punishment on zina in our constitution. Yes, in America, in Europe, there's what we call the age of consent and the age of contract. The age of consent is an age that when a young girl or a young boy, what it is the age, he is free, he has the freedom to seek the consent of the opposite sex for sexual enjoyment without the knowledge of the father of the mother of age. That is, the girl can be approached when he reaches that age. If the girl gives a consent that it is legal. And the same thing, in our society, there's no punishment that I want to put there's no any punishment. And there's no punishment on that kind of aspect. They will tell you, she knows what is for her. And what it did is what is good for her. So you cannot go to the station to report the man. You cannot. Why? Because the girl has to reach the age of consent. So age of consent, it is the age that a girl or a boy will reach, that to be free to do anything of our own consent, for our own consent, which sex is part of it. But in Islam, no. Islam does not support that age of consent at all. While in the West, they have age of contract. Age of contract is higher than the age of consent. Age of contract is the age that a boy or a girl can reach, which is giving or gives her the opportunity to go into marriage. For instance, in some countries in the West, they place age of consent to be 13. 15 years. In some countries in the West, you will see 15. While the age of contract will be 18. In some, it will be 20 or 22. While the age of consent will be 16. Subhanallah. So what Islam knows is age of contract. Yes, age of contract. That is, when a woman is ready to marry, and the father will give the consent, if the father gives the consent to that, that is it. He or she, a boy or a girl, does not have any opportunity in Sharia to go into sexual activities, sexual acts, like kissing, the opposite sex, like hugging, like romancing, up to the level of sexual experience. In Sharia, doing that is zina. The zina is not allowed in Islam. But when the girl is ready to marry, then the father should support. And it's only the father that can give the consent to whoever that she is in love with, she wants to marry. The father will stamp it, and both of them will become legal husband and wife. But if the father refuses to do that, then there's no way for her, except she approaches the Sharia court. Sharia court will not invite the father to hear from him. Why did he refuse to accept the proposal of the man that the girl wants to marry? If he has the legal backup, the legal explanation, then Sharia also will support. Sharia court will support him. He will support the father. But if there is no any legal explanation, reasonable, cogent evidence, then Sharia court will rule that the girl is free to marry the man that she wants to marry. Because why would you tie down a girl? Do you want them to commit zina? Do you want them to fall into illegal sexual intercourse, which in fact is a common practice in our society, when there's no any punishment, binding this and that, especially when it has to do with sexual activity? There's no any crime, no any crime, yes, except if the man, if the perpetrator carry out the sexual intercourse in the house of in the matrimonial home of the woman, it can be punished for intruder, for coming into someone's apartment without the consent. Yes, but if the man and woman meet outside in hotel, there's no any punishment under our law. But in Sharia, it is haram. It is forbidden. Yes, it is illegal. It is not approved in Islam. So we can see that if we all submit to the law of God, our Creator, our Sustainer, He has provided for us various bounties of the world to make our life easy, that we need to give thanks in return. We appreciate His efforts on us in return. Then, how will the society be? How will it be if we follow the intentions of God? Which it has, in fact, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So to commit zina in our society is as easy for God with 200 naira, with 300 naira. Someone was asked that You normally go to Ilya Shehu. How much do you use to give them? He said, 200 naira, subhanAllah. 200 naira to commit that evil act. It is an evil act. There is no any human being which is natural senses that will approve that. No any human being. Yoruba will say, "Wore do wo, kose bilomo, ase o do nlogba, kose fasile." An adage in Yoruba. It will say that a madman. It is easy for people to look at a madman and laugh. Yes. If someone that is not mad passes in your front, nothing will make you to laugh. But when a madman passes in your front, you will laugh the way he will display. That's me of the radio work. Then the other side says, Ashawadu Nluba, that is women practicing zina, illegal sexual intercourse, those who sell their body to make money. This, they said, yes, they are material to enjoy the time, but they are not materials for marriage. They are materials to enjoy the time. They are not materials for marriage. Subhanallah. So you, as a father who has daughters, you will not be acting if your daughter is trying or is choosing the way of selling the body to make money. You will not be happy. So those girls and women doing that, they are daughters of some family. They are daughters of some family. So there should be a deterrent, something that we hold the hands of the people from that evil practice. And that is what Sharia, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is all about. Deterrent, so that it will be a lesson for the innocent not to commit the same offense. But if you say something is a crime and there is no punishment on it, or the punishment on it is not carried out, many people will still commit that crime. It is also from Ashishime. So a country, a community, where there is no punishment, when there is no punishment on a crime, nobody will hold anyone responsible for committing a crime. Nobody. And the crime will become widespread. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our knowledge and grant all of us the steadfastness and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. InshaAllah, we continue next week. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.